morning. I'm going to clip this in the front and listen to our fearless leader, our pastor here. Oh, man, God is good. That was great worship. It's good to be in the presence of God. Hope you all brought your Bibles today. I had a week off. I've had some time off from school, so I hope you all ate a good breakfast. I might be a little long this morning. Amen. Well, if you all have your Bibles, if you all can open up to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. We're going to jump right into the Word. As y'all have noticed, we have a new computer technology system going on, and it's been a tremendous blessing. And Casey and the group that works in the back, they've been great working with us, and we're gonna push her to the limits today. See how many Bible verses we can sneak in a time frame here. So, if you have your Bibles open to 2 Kings chapter 13 verse 14, we'll jump right in. And the Word says, "Now Elisha was suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehosh, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. 'My father,' he cried, 'the chariots and horsemen of Israel,' he cried, 'the chariots and horsemen of Israel.' Elisha said, 'Get a bow and some arrows.' And he did so, and he took the bow take the bow in your hands," he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. "Open the east window," he said, and he opened it. "Shoot," Elisha said, and he shot the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram. Elisha declared, "You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek." And just a little bit of context as to what's going on in this time. When we read 1 Kings and 2 Kings, it's during a time after David, King David's rule. Okay, King David is transitioning as king in his golden days, and during this time, Israel becomes under the rule of several kings, beginning with King Solomon, and it goes on from there. And during this time, the land of Israel struggles, and God sees the struggle. And so during this time, God sends the people of Israel Elijah, a prophet, a godly prophet, and his heir, which was Elisha, which is who we're reading about here. And during this time, God continues to provide warnings to the different kings. And that's why they call it the first book of Kings and the second book of Kings, because there's several kings as we read through it. And so the land is always under attack because the kings can't do a great service of leadership to the people of Israel. And so God provides these warnings and direction, but the people have their own intention. They have their own purposes, and they don't truly focus on God. And so the land comes under attack. And so in verse 18, we continue to read, right? The king is under attack, and he's fearful. And so he asked Elisha to provide him with help. And so Elisha gives him the arrow. And in verse 18, he says, "Then he said, 'Take the arrows.'" Now, this is after he already shot the first arrow and declared victory for the land of Israel over the people that are attacking them. And verse 18 says, "Then he said, 'Take the arrows,' and the king took them. And Elisha told him, 'Strike the ground.' And he struck it three times and stopped. The man of God, Elisha, was angry with him and said, 'You should have struck the ground five or six times, not just three. Then you would have had defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times.'" Very powerful, this message. And I want to go back to verse 19, but I'm gonna read to you from a different version. This is the SWCV version. I don't know if y'all ever heard of it. It's called the shoulda, woulda, coulda version. Okay, so this is called the shoulda, woulda, coulda version. And it goes like this. The man of God, this is verse 19, the man of God was angry with him and said, you shoulda struck the ground. Everybody say shoulda. You shoulda struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you woulda defeated Aram and coulda destroyed it. But no. But now you will defeat it only 3 times. That's what I want to talk to you all about today. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Well, what do I mean by that? You know, and as we transitioned from our prayer series and I'm sharing with you guys today, you know, it was a very powerful time, you know, the importance of prayer. And, you know, when we dig down deep and from last week's message, you know, his promise still stands. You know, it made me just really think about what that means. And it's truly important to understand the importance of that, because when we pray, sometimes we just ask God for a little bit, and instead of asking Him for what we truly need, we just ask Him for a little bit. We ask Him for just enough instead of everything. You know, with our families and our household and our finances, sometimes we pray to God just to, you know, God, just please let me get enough money for this month so I can get the house paid for and some groceries. When perhaps maybe we should be praying to be able to pay it all off. You know, don't give me just through this month, but give me through the year. Better yet, give me through when my little one graduates high school or graduates college. Why do we limit our prayers? Shoulda, woulda, coulda. You know, we don't want to live in a land, in a time where, man, I should have prayed more. I wish I would have. I could have, you know, I could have found a little bit more time. And it's where we ask God to just get us through another day's journey. You know, just get me through the day. Just get me through the day, you know. Some of our teachers get me through the year, man, you know. You know, let's pray about getting us to retirement, you know. Instead of getting me through the year, let's pray to retirement. You know, and instead of limiting our prayers, let's have prayers that transform our lives. That transform our lives. And God and Elisha, they what we're reading, they wanted to see just how serious the king truly was about defeating the people. And that's why we read that Elisha was upset, because instead of using all his arrows, he stopped at 3. He limited his victory. And when we do a little self-reflection, you know, if we think about these things, are there times in our lives where we only want a victory that's just in this moment, as opposed to a permanent victory, a victory that gets us to our heavenly kingdom? You know, and in self-reflection, just as a king, we have little victories that get us through the day, and instead of having a total victory, the Bible says that he only had 3 victories instead of complete victory. And as we read in the Kings, you know, the kingdoms, the reign of kings continues on. And the struggle is still there. In our times, what we read about is winning a few battles instead of the war. All right? That's what we're talking about. You want to win a couple of battles, or do you want to win the war? We shouldn't stop until we're finished. We shouldn't stop until we're finished. And the important thing that I like about this scripture is that the king began with the promise. If we go back to verse 17. Open the east window, he said, open it, shoot the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared. The king began with a promise of complete victory, but afterward he found himself the recipient of much less. And isn't that just like the way we find ourselves in our lives? And it centers around our decision. He's given an order to strike the ground, but he only does it three times and he stops. One could call him a quitter. It's a harsh word. Nobody likes to hear the word quit, especially being called a quitter. But God sent Elisha to the kings of Israel and to King Jehosh, and striking the arrow was connected to his ability to receive the full measure of God's intention for him. And that's what our prayer life is. Our prayer life is God enabling us to ask him for favor and glory and victory in our everyday lives. But if we limit that prayer, we limit our victory. And so I ask the church, I ask you guys, I ask myself, are there areas in our lives where we too easily give up? If we jump over to 2 Kings chapter 4, I want to share another story with you. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings, excuse me, 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, okay? This is the story of the widow's oil. We've heard it before. I want to share it with you guys. Let me read through it. It says, verse 1, this is 2 Kings chapter 4. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing here, nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. Verse 6, when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live off of what is left." Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. It's a big difference in these two stories. See, in this story, this woman is given arrows, and she uses them all. She doesn't stop at jar 2 or jar 3. She keeps using her jars until there's none left. In verse 6, it says, when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." She used her arrows, and she asked for another one. She didn't stop. "Give me another arrow. Give me another arrow. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying. Give me another arrow." She didn't stop at shoulda, and she didn't stop at woulda, and she didn't stop at coulda. "Bring me another one." And there were none left. Do you see the difference? You compare the two, the point here is to use your arrows. You know, God has given us this great ability to pray and call out to him, and he hears our prayers. But we got to use our arrows. And the truth is that the beautiful thing about the Bible is that it's the perfect game plan. It's a perfect strategy. It's the winning combination. And Jesus used his arrows. It's a great person to focus our lives on and to mimic. You know, he didn't stop. I shared this with the youth last night. It was great. And Jesus didn't stop when he got turned in, when he got captured. Jesus didn't stop when he took the whippings and the lashings. And Jesus didn't stop when he got a crown of thorns placed on him. And he didn't stop when they made him carry the cross. He didn't stop when they started throwing stones and things at him while he was making the walk. And Jesus didn't stop when they started to put nails on his arms and his feet while he was on the cross. And he didn't stop when they speared him. No, Jesus, he used all his arrows and gave us victory. Over every broken circumstance, over every sad day, over every dollar that's hard to get, over every tear that we cry for our kids, everything. What a great example to follow. Because he could have. It's the Son of God. But he used his arrows. My message to you guys today is let's use our arrows. Let's not stop at three. Let's continue to strike the ground. If you turn to 2 Kings chapter 7, just a little, a couple pages down. 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. I'm going to read another story here. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. The Bible says, "Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, 'Why stay here until we die? We'll go into the city. The famine is there, and we will die.'" They're faced with a dilemma. See, the lepers are put on the outskirts of the city because they are an embarrassment to the city, and people are afraid that what they have will spread. And the lepers, they tell themselves, "Well, if we stay here, we're going to die. There's a famine over the land. The land is going over a harsh time as we continue on through the Book of Kings. And there's war and there's struggle in the city because they're not focused on God." And the lepers, they start thinking a little bit, and they're like, "Well, if we stay out here, we're going to die. And if we go into the city, there's famine there, and we can die. And on top of that, if the famine doesn't kill us, well, you know, they don't want us there. Maybe they'll kill us also, but there's a chance. There's nothing where we're at now. There has to be more in the city." And so this is what we find going on with the lepers. And the lepers say that we will die. We'll die if we stay here, or we'll die if we go into the city. But I know for a fact that where I am right now, there's nothing. And so they say, "So let's go over there to the camp of the Arameans and surrender." Because you know what? Let's go over to the bad guys. Let's just surrender. Let's go over there. There's nothing for me here. You know, there's some things that we do in life that aren't leading us to anything fruitful. Whether it's our prayer lives, whether it's addictions, whether it's habits, whatever it can be. The way we treat our family members, our spouse, our kids, our, 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 our classmates, our colleagues. And these guys are in such a bad situation that they say, you know what? Let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. And see, they see the hope. They see the possibility, the potential. If I use one more arrow, something good can happen. Why stop at three? Why not keep going? Continue to strike the ground. Maybe they'll spare us. Maybe we'll live. We're going to die here. Maybe they'll kill us, but, you know, there's a possibility. Got a couple more arrows left in my bag. Let me use them. In verse 5, it says, at dusk they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. There was nobody there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left camp as it was and ran for their lives. So they could have been stuck there where they were and had nothing and died, but they took a chance. They used another arrow. They didn't stop at three. And lo and behold, when they go, there's nobody there. But we'll never know that if we live a life of shoulda. I shoulda gone. Man, I wish I woulda. I coulda. But no. And the men, the Bible says, and the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. And when they entered the tents, they ate and they drank, and they carried away with silver, gold, and clothes, and went off and hid them. They're lepers. Probably never had anything great in their lives. And not only do they have food and drink, but now they have silver and gold. But if they would have just stayed on the outside of the city, if they wouldn't have used the arrows that they had left. And this is the great part of the story. When they realized that they had all of this stuff, they returned and they entered another tent and they took some more things. Not only did they get stuff, they got even more. And God just kept on giving them things. And the beautiful part about the story is that in verse 9 it says, then they said to each other, the light flickered, it says, we're not doing right. These are people that had nothing. And they stated to themselves, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So we transition from not using arrows, not using enough arrows, and limiting the promise of victory for our lives, and limiting our prayers, to using those extra arrows and continuing to strike the ground. And God gives us victory. And not only do we use that victory, but we share that victory with other people. That's great news. God, Jesus, God has his son, Jesus, and he doesn't share, he doesn't keep his son to himself. He shares his son with us. He shares his victory with us. You can see the difference between the stories. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Many times we find ourselves on the outside of the city, and we're not willing to go in. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. And it takes me back to the story of Peter stepping out of the boat. You know, sometimes we just need to step out of the boat. You know, we shouldn't live a life of shoulda, woulda, coulda. We shouldn't find ourselves tomorrow saying, man, I should have. Or a week from now saying, man, I wish I would have. Or a year from now, man, I could have. Or sadly, maybe 10 years from now, looking back and saying, man, I should have, I would have, I could have. We're at the end of our days, right? The end of our days. Say, man, I should have prayed a little bit more. I should have used that extra arrow. I should have kept striking the ground. I could have. I wish I would have. Let's not live our lives looking back and realizing that we're still in the boat. Let's make sure that we're not still in the boat. Let's step out of the boat. Let's use our arrows. Let's continue to strike the ground. If we jump over to Matthew 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Verse 31, the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? They had an opportunity to use their arrows, and they used them. And verse 33 says, Lord, they answered, we want our sight. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. And I shared this message with you because in verse 31, the Bible says that the crowd rebuked them. And they told them to be quiet. And they had a choice to make. They could have stopped striking the ground. They could have stopped at three arrows. But no, they shouted louder. Sometimes we need to shout louder. You know, we pray and pray and, man, God doesn't hear me. No, continue to pray. Continue to pray. God will hear you. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. You see the difference. You know, there's a saying, a common analogy that's often used that says that tigers have to earn their stripes. You know, when a tiger is born, they don't have stripes. There's that famous phrase and saying that says, tiger's got to earn its stripes, and so do we. And we should have that mentality. Just thinking about it, we should have that mentality. We need to earn our stripes. We need to earn our victory. We need to strike the ground. Because the truth is that we will come into circumstances where we are rebuked and we face challenges and people tell us to be quiet and people tell us to stop and discourage us and tell us not to do it and not to keep praying and not to do this and not to do that. And we end up living the shoulda, woulda, coulda lives. But if we if we shout louder and we continue to shout till we get that victory, till we get our sight, till we get our mortgage paid off, till we reach retirement, till we feel the fullness of joy in our life that God can provide. The Bible says that if you can be trusted with little, much will be given to you. That little baby tiger can handle his own. He earns his stripes. And if we don't stop at three arrows, if we continue to strike the ground, we will have victory over that which opposes us. Earn your stripes. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. You know, David, King David, he earned his stripes. He earned his stripes out in the field. See, the same way Elisha had the king shoot out the first arrow, and God's promise of victory was in his life and for the people of Israel. The same promise was for King David before he was king. Yet there he was, faithful and obedient out in the land, still serving. And he had already been promised great things, great works from God. And he stepped out of the boat. King David, he stepped out of the boat. And while he was out in the fields, he ran into and was confronted by lions and bears. And people rebuked him and shouted at him to say, hey, be quiet. Got lions sent in your way. You know, we face lions in our lives and bears in our lives and people shouting at us to be quiet. But those lions and those bears, they just prepared him for his giant. Amen. And God saw David's faithfulness and he saw David's obedience with little. And David was given much. He continued to strike the ground. Thank you, Jesus. You know, over the past month and a half or so, Pastor has been sharing with us the importance of prayer and you know, the purpose of prayer, you know, the power of prayer. And I know I mentioned it already, but I truly enjoyed last week's sermon of the promise of prayer. The promise stands. The victory in our lives over every struggle and circumstance that we have, the promise still stands. If you open up your, if you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 12. I'm reading out of the NIV version, and the Bible says here, it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. This is what I want to focus on. The NIV version says faithful in prayer. Be faithful with the arrows that God has given you in your life. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful with those arrows. The King James version, hope this puts a smile on your face, Elias and Pastor Green, using the King James Version. The King James Version says to continue in constant and be constant in prayer, continuing instant in prayer, the King James Version. Continuously use your arrows. Don't stop at three. the ESV version says to be constant in prayer. The ASV version says to continue steadfastly in prayer. I have an app on my laptop, and it's got all of the versions. There's one version, the JFB version. It says, in prayer, persevere. Powerful word, persevere. Persevere with your arrows. Continue with your arrows. Be faithful with your arrows. Be constant with your arrows. Be steadfast with your arrows. The Bible says to pray continually in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. In Psalm 2, verse 8, it says, ask me and I will. God says, ask me and I will. So now that we've learned the importance and the power of prayer and the promise of prayer, God's telling us, ask me and I will. Use your arrows. I've already promised victory in your life. I've already promised victory in our lives. And I will. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will. Use your arrows and he will. Use your arrows and he will. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. And ask Michelle to come up as I begin to wrap up the message. Before I close, I want to read a prayer from the Bible. If Casey will open the app up to Ephesians 3, verse 14. And if you indulge me, if we can all read it out loud together when she throws it up on the monitor. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. It's 14 through 21. It's a prayer that was written for the Ephesians. We live a life of shoulda, woulda, coulda, and not using our arrows. And it's important that we understand the significance of not stopping at three and continuing to strike the ground. We've learned about the power of prayer and the promise of prayer and the faithfulness of prayer. And we got to use it. We got to apply it to every circumstance in our life and receive God's promise of victory for the lives we are to live. And as the lepers live, not only do we receive the victory, but we share it with others. And as the blind men sat on the ground, when they came to hard times, not only did they say, oh, you know what, okay, it's a tough time. No, they persevered and they shouted louder. We need to use our arrows. Ephesians 3:14. Let's read this out loud. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Yes. It's the power of God in our lives, the truth and the promise of the Word of God. We need to use our arrows, church. Instead of living a life of coulda, woulda, shoulda. Thank you, Jesus. So blessed to have my parents here and you know, I have many arrows in my life. And it wasn't until I started using them that the victory of God, that He had for me in my life, that it started to present itself to me. You know, God gave me an arrow family. It's an arrow of endless love and support. God gave me my wife as an arrow. She's the arrow of strength and trust. My son's an arrow. He's an arrow of forgetfulness. It's kind of funny, but it's true. He's such a blessing to me because there's many times that I can hold on to grudges and we need to forgive and we need to forget sometimes. I need to forget my past when I was in the darkness because that's not the life God has for me and it's not the life God has for any of us. And God gave me that arrow of forgetfulness. And I'm not going to leave it in my bag and not strike the ground with it. I'm going to use it and we need to use it, church. And God gave me you, the arrow of church. It's the arrow of acceptance. I'm no more worthy than you guys to be up here and sharing God's love and message with y'all. It's like the arrow of acceptance. God accepts you who you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He loves every one of us. Regardless of our circumstance, regardless of our past. God's given us the arrow of the Bible and of prayer and of Himself. The Bible, prayer, and God. Those are our strongest arrows. And we need to use them. They're arrows of hope and arrows of promise. And arrows of fulfillment of that promise. Let's not live a life of shoulda, woulda, coulda. Let's use our arrows. Let's use